Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Welsh Forest Focus, Nottingham Forest are back in Premier League action on Sunday as they look to build on the win against Fulham when they go to Champions League chasing Spurs. So joining me to discuss the game from the opposition point of view, I'm delighted to say, is Baker from the Above Average FPL podcast. Baker, how are you doing?
Very well, mate. I was like to be coming and speaking to you, and we were both off the back of wins, but yeah, a little bit more daunted, I'd say, than I was probably expecting to be for this weekend. I was hoping to be really confident going into this weekend. I'm not quite as confident now.
No, well, I was fully expecting a defeat and just hoping we'd turn up and play well. But after last night, I've got more optimism, certainly, and we'll probably come on to that. Just kicking off with the kind of Spurs season in general. It seems like it's been a bit miserable being a Spurs fan for the last few years, but then Ange Postecoglou's come in and he's looked like a breath of fresh air from the outside, and now you're pushing for the Champions League places. How's it been for you? Is this better than you expected, or did you always think you'd be around this position by now in the season?
It's definitely better than expected. You know, you've got to remember, again, how bad we were last season. You know, is didn't make even Conference League of Europa. So this is a big change for us in terms of he's come in from a team that didn't make the Conference League, then lost Harry Kane, which we just couldn't even fathom how we score goals without Harry Kane. Like it's just literally carried us through many, many years. And to be in a chance for the Champions League is hugely better than we could ever imagined it would have been at the start of the season. But anyone who's a football fan, no one thinks about what you were thinking about at the start of the season. You're thinking about now. So now it's like all you can look at is Aston Villa, for example. Because actually, if you'd asked me at the start of the season, would you target finishing below or above Aston Villa? And would you finish target finishing above or below Man United, then I absolutely would have wanted us to have finished above Aston Villa and finished above Man United. And so therefore, that's got to be still the target now. You know, is I think fourth place is open, you know, for us. I think, you know, at the start of the season, I'd have worried a lot more about Chelsea than we've had to this overall season. So we're in a good space. And is in, you know, a good space. It's just been nice to just enjoy the manager. Do you know what I mean? Like the last, if you think about it, like, if we forget Nuno from that sense, because yes. I feel like, you know, he didn't really stand a chance, basically, in terms of how he was appointed and the short term he was in. But if you take the Mourinho time and the Conte time, it just was never enjoyable. It just wasn't.
just elaborate on Nuno a little bit, actually, at Spurs, because obviously we know him from the Wolves spell, and we formed our own opinion of him pretty much now, but we've not spoken to him about the Spurs stints. Was he just on to hiding to nothing from the start because he was, like, literally the ninth choice in line for the job? Would that do for him before a ball was kicked?
Yeah, I think it was. And I think it's also because he came off of a bad spell at Wolves. You know, is if you take his time at Wolves, like, there was a time where he got Wolves massively overperforming, you know, what they were expecting. He had some brilliant times. But it felt like that last season at Wolves, it felt like he was grumpy. Like, that's, you know, when you used to listen to him, hear him, it felt, I think Nuno, when it's bad, feels like he's really grumpy. Like, and it feels like just a negative place to be around in when Nuno's not in it. Then when Nuno did join Spurs and he did his first interview, he did a brilliant first interview, Nuno, and he did this bit where he was like, "We will make you proud." And it was like, I'm so easily sold. Like, the second he said that, I was like, yes, Nuno, that's what I want. But in a way, I feel like, looking back, it probably then hurt him, because he came in as this person that was on a hiding to nothing because it had taken so long to get the appointment. Then comes in and says, "I'll make you proud." Then even one bad performance and it's like, nah, he can't make us proud. No, that's it. Just get rid of him. It's just, yeah, I don't think he ever felt loved by us, and I think when he's not loved, I don't think Nuno's the best responder to that. So I think, you know, in your world at the moment, if things are good and he's good, then I think it's great. I think the biggest issue with Nuno is when it ain't so good. I think you know, he historically didn't respond in a good way to that. Very defensive.
Yeah, that's interesting. He's kind of retreated into his shell a bit until last night, ironically. Like, the team selection was really defensive and the interviews were a little bit surly, but he's coming off the back of Steve Cooper as well, who fans loved. And I think fans are sort of, everything's results-based, isn't it? They're warming to him slowly, but he's had a rocky couple of weeks, certainly, before last night. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, he's still doing that. Are you seeing that? That's interesting, because I wondered if that maybe, with that break, has changed. But that was just always the thing that I felt. That's surly is a perfect word you used there. That's what I used to find, is when it was bad, it seemed that way.
When we've lost games where we've been unlucky with VAR and stuff like that. I've heard you guys talk about, you know, the one where Bolly got sent off for, you know, a good slide tackle.
Unbelievable.
We've had the rough end of it, but also he's been, before last night, he's been a bit culpable with some ropey team selections away from home, really conservative ones. But last night was much more like it, and everyone was happy, certainly, and Nuno was as well. Just on Ange, I mean, I love him. I love the stuff. Spurs social media is really good because they put out a lot of interviews of him with fans and stuff. But just in general, he feels like a breath of fresh air in football terms. Well, like that Chelsea away game was absolutely incredible from a neutral's point of view, where you're down to nine men and he steadfastly, we don't swear out here, but effort, we're gonna go for it no matter what. I mean, I absolutely love that game. What have you made of him football-wise? Has it been everything you would have hoped for?
It is everything you would have hoped for. It is, hope for is such a strange word for it, because, like, it's really good, because we're not in the dressing room all the time. Like, we're not in there, are we? We see the old documentaries now and again, but you're not in there. So when you can see an identity on a pitch, when you can see a style of play, when you can see players buying into stuff, they're sort of tangible things that you can then, like, attribute to a manager. So when you see the way that we play around at the back, the way that we invite teams on, the way that we then, you know, invert the fullbacks, play certain players in certain positions, play at certain, you know, levels of pace in certain areas, all of it, you identify with the manager, and that helps you to kind of, like, understand what's going on. But it also tells you that the players, like it. And it feels like they like it more because it's not just a rigid, it's not an automated system. So if you think about like Conte, for example, when they played under him, they also, you knew this was very Conte, what you saw, but you almost felt like the players were doing it because they were going to get beaten if they didn't do it. Whereas this one, it feels like they're doing it because they feel like they're being given the confidence to do it. So like that Chelsea game, why it was kind of big was like, to get them to buy into when you've only got 9 men that you're going to run that line and you're going to do this stuff and you're still going to try and score was like, they love him. And they love him, so we love him, we all love him. And that's just the whole thing about it, is that when you can see that sort of identity, when you can see it, the issues that, the negatives about when you can see an identity is whenever there's stuff that doesn't quite go right, fully point it at the manager too. So when you see it, you know, so we've seen the Fulham game recently, we had the Wolves game recently, and we've seen a little bit in the West Ham game, and we'll talk about it, I think, in this game. But I do think there are some similarities in how, certainly how Wolves set up and how West Ham set up, to we might see from you boys on the weekend, that look like they are weaknesses in our system. And I guess what we don't know, we just don't have enough knowledge to know how Ange will react, how Ange might adapt, how Ange might want to take it forward. You know, we don't know in the next sort of 7-8 weeks as we get closer to this sort of potential top four finish, how he's going to play it. We don't know a lot of stuff around rotation. So this is the first time all season we've had everyone fit. And we're like, is he going to change it around a lot? Is he not? So I think there's still lots of bits where we're learning. And I think he's quite open about that. I saw the comments, you know, from him last night, and almost suggested, like, he said he's felt he's learning. Like, he said he saw lots of different stuff than what he saw from the Fulham game, and it helped him, you know, and it felt like they're learning. So I think, you know, we still do feel we're in a journey.
Just before we come on to the specifics of this game and more recently, just in general, is your season, do you kind of think what might have been? Because you started so well and then it feels like injuries have gradually killed you. I mean, I think both centre-halves might have gone off in a game. Madison's had injuries, Richarlison's had injuries. It feels like it's really held you back, because at one point you were looking like early title contenders, if I cast my mind back.
Yeah. In a results way, we were. In a results way. And obviously it was fun playing, but there's been so many games this season where we've managed to sneak a win over the line one way or another. You know, there's been very few games, bar that Villa game, there's been very few games where we've completely just put teams to the sword and it's been done. But injuries definitely do feel a little bit that way. I mean, what could have been is like, where would we be right now if Harry Kane was still here? That's the bit that you can't stop thinking, you know, is because, you know, we didn't directly replace him. But yeah, I think the way that we play, especially out the back, the Van der Ven has probably been bigger than anything else for us this season, is you know, even the last few games where we've played Dragosin as a right foot to play on the left side, you see the whole thing comes apart really easily without the right personnel in place. And that's a little bit just out of depth place, but it's more the semantics of what you're expecting of someone. When you need your defenders to be able to play, you know, in a certain way, and your fullbacks to be able to become central midfielders and be really comfortable with it, it's just not that many fullbacks that are that comfortable playing in central midfield. So the second you go, you know, from Destiny Adogie to Ben Davies, the second you go from Pedro Porro to Emerson Royale, it's like, well, that's all gone. Whereas in most teams, changing a right back with a right back doesn't make that much difference. Changing a left back between left backs, you know, if we think back school days and all the rest of it, you were like, I'll just stick them in fullback, it's fine. Whereas now it's like, oh my God, every injury, Yeah, so did you, I think, injuries, what could have been? Yeah, but do I think that's partly because of Ange as the manager, even more so? It's like injuries actually just become much, much bigger because of how specific he wants a certain player to play.
Interesting. Just before we kick off, talk more about the weekend, then just a quick plug for our sponsors, the Trent Navigation, an apt advert, because Baker's a big FPL person. That's how I found him to get him on board. The Trent Nav's league code is LY4UG8. It's all lowercase, LY4UG8. So sign up for that and you can win tickets to a T20 game at Trent Bridge this summer. Right. So more recently then, just looking at recent results, you've been winning games, but you scraped past Luton, and I've not seen the highlights. I don't know if you battered them or not, to be honest. You drew with West Ham, like you say, you lost to Wolves, and then you beat Villa really comfortably. So it looks like it's been a bit of a mixed bag of late. How have they actually been, in your opinion?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Fine with us. I guess it's the same deal as now you've got everybody fit. It feels like there's no excuses. Do you know what I mean? It feels like you should be putting teams away. So we should, you know, potentially, you know, we should have put Wolves, we should have put Fulham, we should have put Luton, you know, away effectively. That's the job we've got to do if we want to be a top four team. And we didn't do those ones. I think people are learning against us. I don't think Villa did learn against us in that if you... We still have frailties where we will give teams chances. That's not going away. We have players that do make individual mistakes. You know, Bissouma, you know, made a slightly different mistake against you in the reverse leg, but he has been brilliant in most of these games for like 85 minutes, but has 5 minutes where just concentration falls apart. And it costs you in this league. You know, it's a big league. You know, is the game last night against West Ham. You know, where we're seeing, and so West Ham, the Luton goal, the Wolves game in particular, the Fulham, what we're seeing is teams, if they sort of collapse in on themselves a bit, sit back, sit their centre midfielders in front of their back four, you know, make it almost a back five with another one in front, so end up, you know, at least six people behind the ball. We don't have a lot of magic, really, is the issue. Or we've got players that potentially have a little bit of magic, but they don't have any pace. So Maddison and Kulusevski are our most creative players, but neither of those are blessed with great pace. Then we've got our quicker boys, which is Timo and Brennan, but they, you know, don't often make the greatest decisions on earth. You know, they are there, they're brilliant to be fed with the brilliant, the perfect ball, much better than they are, or beating the player and then getting across, than they are necessarily like picking the through ball or even just making the right decision on the break. Is so there's loads of threat we're doing. We're occupying huge amounts of territory. We're occupying huge amounts of possession. You know, I'm very much expecting that we would have 60, 70% possession on the weekend. Very much would expect that probably we dominate the XG on the weekend. But will we potentially hand over a chance that then enables you to take, you know, some pressure from us and counter? Yeah, very much so. And the places where we're getting countered the most is the wing. Because if you play quite narrow, and if the team's sitting quite narrow against you, if you've got fast outlets, we've struggled against that. So, you know, Townsend for the Luton goal did that, you know, is broke, got down the right, created, you know, the goal eventually via Barkley to Chong, and sucker punched us very early on. And then it's up against, we're up against it the whole game. In the Wolves game, we had 70% of possession. We had more XG than the opponent. You know, we had all of the threat. But anytime they could get wide on us, we, you know, on the counter, suddenly it's everyone's committed forward and it's a problem. And so, you know, I watched a little bit of your game in between our game last night, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, all right, so this is a team that, you know, just only had 33% possession last night. Only 24% of the possession was in the opponent's half. You know, is other than that, it was mostly Fulham's ball. But they've got Hudson-Odoi and Alanga, who are really quick wingers. They've got a man like Gibbs-White, who can transition and do that playmaking role and bring them into play. And I think that's all perfect for what you want up against Tottenham right now. Like, that's the way to play. So I'm worried.
Yeah, I mean, everything you said there is music to my ears, because the way we played against Fulham was just like, as soon as they give the ball away, we went. And that's how we had success under Steve Cooper in Nuno's early days when we went to Newcastle. And, you know, Chris Woods is, I assume he's in the form of his life. If he's played better than this, then I'd be very impressed. But yeah, that all sounds good to me. What about where you guys can definitely hurt us? I mean, I'm sure you're aware of our absolutely pathetic set-piece defending record. Is Romero a threat? Are you going to pick us off from open play with clever through balls? What should we be looking for?
Again, it's pretty hard to predict with us, because, you know, what it used to be quite easy to pick Tottenham's team. We've got, you know, how I expect us to set up, it's really difficult. It's really difficult, this part, because you've got either Richarlison or Son can play number nine. And I think Richarlison should be back at number nine right now. I would much rather prefer to see Richarlison at nine and Son on the left. I'd prefer it. I don't think we gain a lot out of the extra little bit of speed of Werner that you would do out of the little bit of class from Son. And I think, you know, when teams sit in, well, the one person that physically isn't the greatest is Son, you know, is so using Richarlison more as that battering ram and then having Son available for up, which feels much more important for us. Brennan, your old boy, like, he has to play at the moment, because especially when teams sit in, you need that pace. You need that pace. And him and Timo are the quickest. At the moment, we play, like last night, we played both. And I get why we're playing both. Because you'd think that with teams setting in, you need that pace to get around them. But Timo and Brennan have also technically got the least quality of our wide players. Like, if you play Kulusevski and Son, you've got all the quality in the world out wide, but both of them play on the wrong side for their foot, as it were. So a right foot on the left foot on the right. And they've got no pace. So they're quite easy to defend against from a sort of low block counter type perspective. So I think last night we tried to use both pace. I think we might move to one and one. So I suspect it might be more of a Richarlison up top, Son left and Brennan right. That does pose a question about whether we play Maddison or Kulusevski in that number 10 role. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Kulusevski over Maddison on the weekend. And that's probably from a personal view, but I don't know. I think
what's gone wrong with Maddison then? Because he was so good at the start of the season.
Just since he's come back, I just think that there's something's not quite right. Something's just not quite right. You can see it. He's just, I wonder if he's still carrying an injury or whatever it is. Because every week you're like, please, Maddo, be back. Please, Maddo, be back. And you see it in moments, but he's not running games, really. I've been questionable since Maddo's got here about him in the 10 role. I think that he was better. I think he's better almost as like a, not quite a 10, almost that 9.5, like as a support striker, very, very close to the strike. Like I think about the times at Leicester when he was really close with Iheanacho or really close with Vardy, he was good. Or when he played as what, so when they played like Vardy up top, Maddison on the right and Barnes on the left, the way you've got two runners with Maddison, I think that works really well for him because the runners give him a bit more space. I think what he isn't the strongest at is when someone sits on him and he's up against a team sitting in. His actual short unlocking passes have not been great really at any point in the season.
Good. Well, you would be Ryan Yates sitting on him, who's your least favourite Forest player from I remember looking back on that game. I'll come back to that, actually. I just want to get your take on Brennan, because obviously Forest fans love him. I love him. There was a stage early in the season where every time he played for Spurs, we see stuff on Twitter saying, why have we signed this guy? He's absolutely useless. Has that opinion changed now? It feels like he's producing a lot more of late.
I think it changes for two reasons. I think one of the first things that we Spurs fans didn't get their head around, and I think this is just like the same in any football team, is when you've got two players like competing for one place effectively, so you've got two right wingers, you've got Kulusevski and you've got Brennan. So the things that Kulusevski is really strong, and Kulusevski's obviously been, you know, like straight away first choice for us for, since he's been with the club. Kulusevski is an unbelievable presser, works really hard in that space. He controls the ball very, very well. He will drag the team forward at the end of a game. Certainly, he works and works and works. Creatively, works very well with fullback. You know, it feels very much a partnership. All of the different ways he works. He isn't, you know, a pacey winger. That's not what he is. You know, we sort of looked at him earlier and thought he would be like our Kevin De Bruyne eventually. He definitely feels more in the playmaker side than a winger side of where we could be. He certainly isn't playing like Kevin De Bruyne. Well, he probably is playing a bit like Kevin De Bruyne at the moment, which is not the greatest. Yeah. They've probably never been closer in terms of comparison. But so when Brennan then comes on, instead of you've got this guy that you can really trust to use his strength, to hold the ball up, to press, to do all the stuff that Kulusevski does, and this guy doesn't. This guy feels like just somebody that will try and go on the end of things. Like he'll try and run in behind. He also did, I'm not sure he was completely right body-wise, because I think we all thought he was going, at the time, felt like he was going to be quicker. He wasn't. He didn't feel like he was that quick. So when he first started coming off the bench for us, you were like, well, he's not that quick. Not as quick as I seem to think he was. And his ball control is not great compared to Kulusevski. Yeah. and all of those type of things. And it's like, we didn't understand the profile of him, because what he is completely the opposite to Kulusevski. So this is a guy that has much more pace. This is a guy that has much more end product. This is a guy who, you know, his, a lot of his good stuff is off the ball stuff. His ability to get into the right space, his ability to read what the striker's doing and going, oh, the striker's going forward, I will drop into that role more towards the end of the box. If the striker's sitting by the penalty spot, I'll get 3 yards out. That's what he really is good at, is spotting when the central defenders are occupied by the centre forward and saying, well, there's the space I can go to. And therefore, what he's very good at then is getting on end product. So, coincidentally, he starts scoring goals and we all think he's great.
He is a great finisher, though. I thought that was his strength at Forest, because we didn't create many chances. He got 8 goals last season. I mean, he scored some good goals. He's rapid when he gets going. Like, his top speed is ridiculous. But
yeah,
on the counter, I don't know. I guess you don't count so much, do you? Perhaps I'm reading that wrong. But yeah, I think he's great. He's got a really good ceiling. But he just needs a lot of games, I think.
I'll say this, but there is a lot of Brennan Johnson that reminds me of Mo Salah.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
The early styles, not what we see now. Like we have to remember how much Mo's put on in terms of his ability to play other people through and do all the stuff he did. But when Mo Salah first joined up, and they had Firmino as a number 9 that would do a lot of the work, do a lot of the good stuff, and actually his job was just see it, get in, score. And there's a huge amount, because he's still young, there's a huge amount of me that sees that and thinks, you can't really teach that. Like, that's there. And the other thing you definitely notice is that he has personality. I don't know if he used to do that for you, but like, it feels like every goal he scores, he's fighting someone. Like, when we played Brighton at their place, like, João Pedro did his, like, slit the throat. Like, immediately he scores in the, like, immediately he does it. When Brentford, when he scored the one to go 2-1 up, obviously we were 1-0 down at half time, and we scored 2 quick goals, and he just went at, like, Ivan Toney, literally went to him. It feels like every single goal he's like, who can I rile up here, like, in his celebrations? You're like, there's something about him that's got that. This, you know what I mean? That's something like, oh
yeah, his best Forest moment. Well, not aside from his goals, I remember. I always think of when Spurs came to our place and Richarlison was showboating on the touchline, and Brennan absolutely smashed him. And it's funny that they're teammates now, but
that's what I'm saying. He does
take offence to stuff, which is good.
Yeah, it's definitely like he's like, I've banked that. I'm going to use that against someone, and that definitely helps you with the fans. Is suddenly you're like, oh, he's in it with us. He cares. Like, there's something about that we're seeing now that you're like, it feels like he's part of us. That takes a bit of time. So
what's your
all of us want him on the pitch every game right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I hope so. I really want to see him do well. Really want to see him do well. What's your take on Forrest and what you've seen of them then? I alluded to, you know, you don't like Ryan Yates because he fouls everyone, which is kind of partly why I love him, even though he divides opinion amongst our fan base, certainly for his ability. But what do you make of Forrest in general?
I actually quite like Forrest. I actually quite like him. Is, you know, I think they've got good stuff in the right places. That's how I see them. I think, you know, I think Neco Williams looks like back to the player that we saw sort of start of last season. Looks like, you know, for me, that you've got him back. I like the pace. You know, you look at it and you think, what do you want from a Forest team? You've got good wingers, you've got a good 10, and you've got a good striker, you know, at the moment. So, and not necessarily all of the ones that you kind of expected them to be probably at the start of the season. You know, is I think last season it was, from an outsider looking in, it was like, I don't even understand it because there were just so many players. It was just like, they just keep buying. Like, that's all anyone used to think was like, I don't understand it. They've just got a lot of people. Whereas now I feel like, yeah, Alanga and Hudson-Odoi, or maybe sometimes, you know, it'll be somebody else out there. But I think that is trouble for any team. Then Chris Wood's obviously incredible, and I'm a huge Taiwo fan, so I'm sort of sad that he's, you know, not been fit for a lot of the season. But Chris Wood's doing brilliant. If you haven't got a lot of money, I'd quite like us to come in for Gibbs White in the summer.
I'm hoping we will be able to keep him. I think we'll probably sell Murillo if we sell one of the two. Probably keep Gibbs White's harder to replace, I think, even though Murillo's probably going to be a much better player if he fulfills his potential, because he's brilliant. But yeah, keep your hands off Gibbs White, certainly.
I genuinely, like, and that's me saying as a comment to that, I genuinely think there's an argument that Gibbs White suits the role that Madison's playing slightly more than Maddo's playing it right now. I think, you know, so I've heard that there's some fans there at Spurs, and it wouldn't surprise me if we tried to test you on that one. Murillo looks like just a world of fun for you, you know, but I just think it's there. And obviously, yeah, no, I hate Yates. I hate him.
That's fine.
But I think you think from Spurs' perspective, we hated him more because it's everything we're not. It's everything we're not. We've not been the type of person and what I mean by that is, like, that game, not only was he just kicking lumps out of us, he was continually telling the ref that they were kicking lumps out of him. And that was the bit that you were like, I don't understand. He's kicking our players, yet he's telling the ref that he's not. And that's all we ever want people to do in our teams. Like, we don't... and it's, you know, clearly continues with Ange, but it's been that way for a long time, is that we don't have players that are any good at game management with the ref at all. We've only had, like, one penalty all season. No crap. Like our players do not fall over. You watch our players, they get kicked, and they go, nah, we'll just try and ride that. They just don't ever. So when I watched, like, Gordon last week for Newcastle, like, just putting his foot into, I'm like, why don't my guys do that? Like, we don't try for penalties ever. We don't ever try. You know, Antonio last night got booked early on, and then all Basuma, he put his leg out, all Basuma had to do was go down, and that's it, he was off. No, just rides it off and carries on running, and you're like, oh, we're stupid. We do it, and we don't make the good decision, so then therefore we then have the stuff like the issue that we have with Yates. We had that all season with different staff. The Chelsea one was not much better. So it is something where there are any form of, you know, playing to the line, I feel we not only do we struggle with it, but we then also react badly to it. So you're mad if you don't do it to Tottenham. Like, winding up Tottenham is exactly the right thing that every team should do. So, yes, we didn't enjoy how Yates was with us, but it was pure, partly jealousy.
Just lastly then, before we let you go, obviously you watch a lot of Premier League football. So I want to get your take on the relegation battle, because I can't, we're starting to feel like we'll probably be all right. Looking at the teams around us, feel like if we play like we did, I think we'll have enough. Obviously, Everton have got a points deduction potentially looming. Luton have got a lot of injuries. Is it the bottom three now that you're looking at, or do you think Forest are still in a lot of trouble?
I think a lot of people like the idea that Luton would get out of it. I think a lot of people, you know, I think they play football in the right way. But then Burnley play football in the right way. Look, you know, there's a lot of teams that play football in the right way. I think, you know, I've got no skin in the game, one of these that are going down. I watch Sheffield United and I'm like, I just don't care for them. So, like, what is there good for me to watch, to look at it and say, I like watching that and that's what I want to stay out? There's nothing there for me. Mm. When I watch Burnley or Luton play, I look at them and I think, I like what they're trying to do. I know they haven't got the players to do it, but I like what they're trying to do. When I look at Everton, I watched a bit of them last night, and obviously they ended up getting the draw in the end last night. But I do look at them a bit and think, I'm not sure they're quite getting it right. I don't know that I like it. I don't think I want to necessarily watch it every week. You know, and I'm not 100% confident, despite the fact that they've got, obviously, Calvert-Lewin and they've got Beto. I'm not just not confident in their goals. But when I watch Forest and Luton and even Burnley play, I do think they know they've got a system. They've got a system. I like it. And I mean, if I look at Forest, not only have they got the system, but they've got some quality behind it. You know, Alanga, Hudson-Odoi, Wood and Gibbs-White as a four, that should be in the Premier League.
Mm.
That should be in the Premier League. There's, if you ask me that four and compared it, say, against Bournemouth's front four, I'd have Forest's. If I compared it against Wolves' front four, I'd have Forest's. Mm. Yeah, I think you know, you should get out of it.
Yeah, but I think we will.
It's a tough old league, isn't it? It's a tough league.
It is. It was actually tougher last season, I think. It's one of the frustrations of our fans is we feel like we shouldn't be down here. I know recently Nuno hasn't picked Elanga. He's been picking Origi, and Elanga came back in last night, and Hudson-Odoi had a couple of games out. And
What was that? Because I found it very strange, you know, is you know, recently from like an FPL perspective of our world, I was quite thinking that Elanga was on the menu type stuff, and then suddenly Origi starts two in a row, and I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he probably offers a sort of a measure of control. Like, Elanga's very rough around the edges. In fact, Mark Southerns, we discussed this on our podcast earlier today, Mark, who you all know was going about big chances for players in midfield. And Elanga's had more than any other midfielder in the league since Nuno came in, more than Salah, more than Saka. And he's had 11 and he's only taken two. So I don't know if Nuno lost a bit of patience because he knows probably more what Origi will give him. But Origi has absolutely no end product so far. He's missed chances as well. He had a big one last night. So, yeah, I think the fans are really happy that Elanga's come in. And Hudson-Odoi, was he left out for one game? The Brighton away game really confused us. Like, he played three in midfields and he only played Woods in attack, and Gibbs-White was really deep. It was all strange, but we were back to that team last night, and I really hope that we stick with that formula now, especially from what you've been saying around areas we can hurt you. I think that feels like the route. I said this on our podcast earlier as well, that I don't feel there's another team down the bottom of the league that can score 3.5 and take someone apart. I don't see Everton doing that, or Luton, or Brentford at present, because Tony feels like he's a bit, wants to go, and he's off it, and he's got one foot out of the exit door, I think, and Bumo's not really fit. So that's why I think we'll be all right. It's not been a great season at all, but I think we'll be there in the end. Yeah, I think so.
And that four, you just back those ones, but you just got to use those four. Like, it seems to me, Matt. And if any week you've got to do it, it's this week, because the recent teams against Tottenham have just given you the blueprint and said, do that. The bit that's always with us and what we did last night, which was good, was, you know, we scored early. We scored early. The stupid thing was that we then did our stupid concede from a set piece thing, whilst just massively on top. And that's still, you know, something that you guys should be looking to exploit type stuff. But if we score early, it's so much more difficult to stick to that game plan of just going to counter on it. But the blueprints out there that sit in, counter, use those pacey wingers. And hope for Chris Wood to knob one in if you get a set piece, basically.
Hopefully so. Hopefully
not.
As ever, if you've enjoyed this video, do us a favour. Hit like, hit subscribe. You can become a channel member. And as I always say, I do read all the iTunes reviews. So thanks very much for your support there. Give us a plug, Baker, for your podcast. I have to say FPL Black Box is always our favourite because Mark's such a big part of this podcast. But I really enjoy Above Average FPL. So just tell us a little bit more about us for people who might want to check you out if they play FPL.
Yeah, so take from this is we're probably more football fans than FPL players, I would say, you know, as that. We're like the reverse, Mark. so basically we're football friends that but we're both Tottenham fans, so you will have to put up with that. But we're good friends who, you know, watch a lot of football, both of us do. And on a Sunday night we will do a live stream at 8:30 or, you know, via the pod. And basically what we'll do is go through every single game, a bit like, say, a match of the day analysis type stuff of every single game. And we'll talk more from a football perspective and then apply that FPL lens to it. But hopefully that, you know, appeals to some of the people that are just more interested in the football than necessarily just the day-to-day-to-day stuff. And hopefully for those that are sort of getting into FPL, it's easy to get into if you kind of hear it with some more football context. And then normally in a midweek, we'll also do a shorter one where we'll go through what our team will be for the following week. But yeah, two friends, bit of Spurs bias. We try to be nice to everyone else. Can't help it if we're occasionally spend a bit longer, but we do timestamp everything, so I always say to everyone, you can always just skip past the Tottenham bit if you don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, I'd definitely recommend it. I watch it on Sundays. I was saying to Baker before we started recording, I do enjoy the Sunday breakdowns that they do. The only thing that annoyed me is when you kept trying to sell Taiwo at the start of the season when he was scoring lots of goals and you said someone should buy him, but no one's going to buy him now because he's can't stay fit. But yeah,
you know, we love Taiwo. We love him.
He is good.
We love Chris Wood, to be fair. Is for a long, long time when he was at Burnley, Adam, my pub partner, used to go on and on about we should buy Chris Wood. Chris Wood is the same, like, have Kane, have Chris Wood. If we're losing, you're playing both. If not, you've got the perfect replacement for it. So, yeah, Chris Wood was always the guy that we said we should replace Harry Kane with, and you've got him. So,
I'll take that. Certainly. Right, that's a good note to end it on. So, yeah, if you've enjoyed this, do like and subscribe, as I say, and we'll be back post-match on Sunday. I think Mark will be on. I'm not actually checking with him. But, yeah, it's a funny time, obviously. 6 p.m. kickoff, a bit mental. But we'll be on, it's mad, isn't it, about 8:15 or so. I take it you're not bothered about that kickoff change. Does it kick off with family life and stuff like that from a Spurs fan point of view? Is it annoying or not?
Pod life, mate, because we stream at 8:30, so it's what do you do, football and then that and then get your stuff ready. We often face into it, but it's the whole scheduling is very weird on Sunday, isn't it? Because you've got a 2:30 game, then you've got 5:30 Chelsea play Sheffield United, and then our game's at 6. So yes, it's a bit of a disaster for the podcast this weekend, scrambling around, but we'll do what we can.
Good stuff. Right. Thanks very much, everyone. Good to have you with us as ever. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game and hopefully catch you post-match on Sunday.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This
is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.